Welcome to the Share Hope, Bring Love podcast, where we bring you stories that illuminate the power of God's hope and love, even in the darkest of places. I'm your host, Rochelle Starr.
And I'm Rachel Hunter, your co-host. Together, we'll explore incredible life-changing stories and the impact of gospel outreach, Christian community, and discipleship.
In each episode, we explore narratives that not only uplift, but also offer insights into how hope and love can transform lives. We believe that these stories have the power to touch hearts and inspire action.
So whether you're seeking to be inspired or to learn, this podcast will be a reminder of the light that exists in the world. You're in the right place. We're here to share, uplift, and connect one story at a time.
Welcome to the show, Share Hope, Bring Love. Let's go.
All right. Well, we're back in the studio. And I think one question we've gotten pretty consistently is, why does someone let you come into the club? How do you go into the strip club for the first time? And I know we've kind of answered that in passing in the past episodes, but I thought it could be really cool if we just really talked about what is that process and why do people even let us go into the clubs? So 17 years into this, how would you say this? Like, why does someone let you come into a strip club?
Oh, that's a great question, Rachel. I think that's, like, going all the way back to the beginning, I think we need to talk first about, before we get into, like, why or why did they let us in, it's the most common question we get, which is, like, why does the owners and the managers let you in? And I want to go back to something that the Lord first prompted us to do, which was prayer driving around the clubs. And so we would, when we first started, and I kind of have shared this in past episodes, that we would fast and pray. And pray outside of the clubs for God to give us favor, to open the doors. But also, when I think back on, like, what God called us to do, like, how were we going to reach the women if we couldn't go into the clubs and we couldn't talk with them and get to know them? I mean, there would be no, like, we can't just stand outside of a strip club and, like, get to know people, you know? So I think one of the things that we, and we do this still to this day, all these years later, is everybody who starts outreach, we just train them to pray and fast and go before the Lord before they ever set foot in a strip club. The second thing is, like, we really are not owed an open door. And one of the things that I've always really thought about is, like, and not thought about, like, had a conviction about, is, like, only God opens doors. He's the only one that does that. We not in nothing in us, like, no matter how we look or dress or the words that we say, like, God is the one that opens the doors. And so when you inherently approach something like that, I think, you know, we walk where He wants us to walk. We talk to whom He wants us to talk to, and God does the rest, and we trust that. You know, through in Louisville specifically, there were 27 clubs. And so we would go and we would pray outside of all of these clubs just through the years. And one by one, God would open the door every time. Like, I sometimes would get like, you guys are weird. That's weird. You should come back and ask me later. So I would say, okay, when do you want me to come back into your, when do you want me to come back and ask you for permission? They'd say, oh, give me a week. And so I'd show up the next week. And they would do this. I remember one specific woman who, it was our club 3 in Louisville, and I showed up like 6 times before she was like, okay, you're not going to go away. And I was like, I'm not, because I love Jesus. I love the women here and I want them to know that. So she finally let us come into her club after 6 rounds of this, and God showed up, and many women, you know, came to know the Lord and were given opportunities out of that life. And so I think one of the things that we is like, if God doesn't open the door right away, we give up or we dust off our feet. And it's like, that's not an open door. But sometimes the people in the industry just need someone to show up again and again. And God's already going to open that door, but they need to start to build trust with you. And so really just acknowledging that only God opens the doors. He also is the only one that closes the doors. And so if you are in a club, or we've been in clubs before where we've been in for several months or years, and then all of a sudden the door closes for one reason or another, it's God that's closing that door. And I think just trusting His faithfulness in how and when that those doors open and close is the most important thing to remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you went into the first club, you've shared with us kind of your spiel that you said when you went in. What do you say, you know, it's 2024, you walk into a club in Las Vegas for the first time. Mm-hmm. What are you saying? What's that approach like now?
I still say the same thing. So, like, the Holy Spirit had given me, I did not know any words that were going to come out of my mouth whenever I was in that club the very first time. I was, like, praying to my spirit, like, Lord, give me some words to say because I have no idea how to approach these people. And the words that came out of my mouth that I really believe the Holy Spirit gave to me, because they're now the words that we use in every club, specifically that I go into, which is Jesus sent us here to do something kind and loving for the people in this place. Can we bring in a home-cooked meal? Those words, I believe, coming from the Lord, have opened the doors by his power every time that we've said them. Because we're not going in our name. We're not going in Scarlet Hope's name. We're not going in the church lady's name. We're not going in Rochelle Starr's name. We're going in the name of Jesus, because we want so desperately these people to know that they're loved. And so whether I'm going in Vegas or whether I'm going in Miami or wherever it's at, that's what we say. And people are really dumbfounded by that. They just don't believe that like, God would ever like send someone to them to like share his love inside of the club. And that kind of goes back to, I'm sure I've already shared the story, but like, I remember being in a strip club when there was a group of Christians that dropped off a box of Bibles, and it on the top of the box of Bibles, it said, repent or go to hell. And our group was inside serving a meal. And the general manager brings me this box, and he's like, see, this is what we've known of Christians. And I was really sad by that, because they were completely missing the point. If you want somebody to read a Bible, there's no bashing over the head that's going to get them to read that Bible. There's no dropping off a Bible on the front doorstep of the strip club or a mailbox. Like, if you believe the word is living and active, you got to live that out in your own life. And then it'll draw them to the Lord and draw them to his word. Yeah. And that's what we've seen over and over again. Haven't you seen that?
Yeah. I think I love taking a meal in, right? And there's just that power of sitting there and speaking with someone and talking with them, right? We get into the club for the first time and you're like, let's eat together. But what's been really cool, I think, especially in the last couple of years, is seeing there were certain clubs that were closed to us because they didn't want us bringing a meal. Mm-hmm. So we started taking gifts, and gifts do something powerful as well. But I think what was so fun was this past Thursday night was even talking to some volunteers here in Louisville who go to this particular club. And every time they go in, they're not allowed to bring food. They don't bring gifts, but they're welcome to just come in and hang out. And they were talking about how weird that is. Like, they're almost like, I wish we could give out food. But that really even goes to show the favor is not because of what we bring. The favor is because of the Spirit going before us.
Yeah.
And just the power of, like, we can all the time say, like, oh, it's an open door because they want a meal for the women. Mm-hmm. But this club goes to prove it's not even about that. It really is the light that's different that we bring than the doors left on the doorstep.
That's such a good point. And ultimately, like, we now, specifically in Louisville, have decade-plus relationship being known for loving this population of people. And I think that goes to show that they're craving and longing for relationships, which is what Scarlet Hope is all about, is introducing them to the Creator, but also then inviting them into this space that share meals with them and gets to know their families and their kids, and not out of a manipulative spirit to like get them to quit or anything like that, but so that they know Jesus, you know? And so I think just the coolest part about the clubs that let us come in and just talk to the women and talk to the people, it just shows God's power, honestly. The question that we go back to is like, people always ask me, like, why did they let you in? We've already established it's really the Lord. Like, nobody is more powerful than him, and he's sovereign over all of those doors. But I also think one of the things that I've had the privilege of knowing many owners and many general managers and people, and they are in need of Jesus just as much as the women that we are there to serve. And I think that one of the things when you come to somebody like without judgment and trying to do something kind, it also speaks to their heart. Like I want to be a part of that too. So a lot of managers actually enjoy that they're allowing us to do something kind for the people that are there. And I've had a manager recently say to me, like, I actually want better for all of these people in here. Like, yeah, I want better for myself too. And one day I see myself somewhere else. But if a woman wants to go to college or she wants to get help from you or wherever, like, I want that for her. I don't think that would be what people think about a general manager or an owner of a club. I'm actually friends with a woman who owns a club or owned a club for like 45 years. Literally, this is all she's known. She is since 14 years old till she's like almost 70 years old now. She has known nothing but this industry and this life. And, you know, has she had opportunities to get out, to know the Lord, different things? Absolutely. But I think that God gave us favor with her because she ultimately wanted the same thing for herself, which is, I think, why we get a lot of open doors with the people that we serve.
I think it's also important to note that there is this spirit giving us favor, but we also want to honor that and be respectful of where we're invited in. Mm-hmm. And so when we go in, we go where we're allowed to go. We follow the rules and parameters that they set for us. Yeah. And I think I've even been encouraged when I first started volunteering, I remember them telling me, like, we're going to go here, we're going to do this. But if she's in a bad mood and she asks us to leave right now, then we drop everything and we leave right then. And she didn't ask us to leave right then, but just that mentality of, like, we're in their workplace, their establishment, mm-hmm. and coming in humbly. Because I think as Christians, so often we can think we know the best way, they need us. Yeah. And so when we come in that posture, people aren't going to want you to stay. But when you come in saying, like, I'm on your turf,
yeah.
and I have something that I want to share, but it's for your benefit, not because you're my project, mm-hmm. you can sense that difference of, like, project versus, like, I really am here to serve you.
When you and I got to serve at a brand new club this week, and though, you know, we're always like, we're watching strip clubs decline, there are some that open new and new ownership and all that kind of stuff. And so we approach them with respect, and we want them to see Christians the way that Jesus is, right? Like, we will never measure up to Jesus, but we want them to see Jesus like when Jesus was with the woman at the well and how kind he was to her and how he talked to her. We want them to see that picture of Christianity and Jesus. And so when we go into the clubs, like you mentioned, we fall under, like, and there's this little short saying that I learned years ago, authority, order, function, blessing. When there's God-given authority, then there is order. And when there is order and we're respectful of authority, then things can function in the way that God's intended them to function. And then blessings will flow from that. And we have seen that by saying, like, you know, a manager said, well, I don't really want you guys in this part of my club. I want you over here. Great. We don't care. We're just in the club. We just want to have a place at a table in the club so that we can serve the women, and being respectful of when they ask us to come or not come, or, you know, there's different things that happen that they don't want us there for. And so being respectful of that, they see a different way that we're not this, like, these Christians, like, that we know best and we're up here and they're down here. It's not like that. That we're ultimately saying at the foot of the cross, we're all sinners. We are all on the same level, but God saved us and he is for you and wants to do that in your life. And I think that's where I think God gives us favor.
Yeah, we've referenced Thursday night multiple times. Yeah. So it's a really great night. I'll recap really briefly. Yeah. We've been going to a handful of clubs in Louisville for the past couple years, but a lot of them have been closing down. We'd been asked not to come back to a couple of them. And so about 6 months ago, we kind of felt this press to be like, let's try to go back to some of those clubs. So we started praying over them, approaching some of them, asking the Lord for guidance there. And in the meantime, a couple new clubs also opened up. And so one of my favorite things about Scarlet Hope overall is gift drops. I love gift drop night. And so on a gift drop night, we go to pretty much every club in Louisville, even if we're not allowed in it on a weekly basis. And so last week we did a gift drop after praying over these clubs. We kind of re-engaged some old clubs and approached the new clubs. And just like you said, we kind of went in with these gifts, humble, and said, hey, here's who we are. We would love to bring a gift. And they let us bring the gifts. And we're like, awesome. What about a meal next week? And so on Thursday, you and I got to go. And so I think it could be interesting even to kind of tell that story so people can even understand, we walked to the door. How do we even start talking to the women? Like, what's that process like?
Yeah. You know what's interesting? You said something earlier in this podcast about, like, when we go with the light of Christ, we look different and we talk differently. We approach differently. So from what my record, like my memory serves me, you and I did not go into this new club the first time for the gift drop.
That's right.
We, a different team went that night. But when we showed up last week to serve the meal that they said we could serve, they had never seen my face a day in their life. And as soon as we walked up, they knew exactly really who we were. Mm-hmm. Welcomed. We went to the front door. There was a woman there and a manager, and they greeted us, and we had food in our hands, and they quickly took us to where we were going to serve that. And when we went through the club, one of the things that just immediately like sparks excitement in my mind, in my heart, is like, we were welcomed. Mm-hmm. We weren't just like, oh, these people are here to serve a meal. Like, it was like the church ladies are here, and like the people that are gonna, that care about them are here. Mm-hmm. And so they escorted us to up the stairs into the dressing room to serve, and all of the women came up there to eat. And I think what's so cool about that is like, they didn't know our name. They had never seen us before, but they knew who we were with. Yep. And that's the difference, you know?
And it was a really sweet moment. We walked in and the dressing room was very crowded, and I'm standing there with a giant tote bag that was kind of heavy. And
which you carry all of the heavy food, just
saying.
Thank
you. Saying. Shout out to me. No,
shout out to Rachel.
It's my job. It's why you keep me around.
It's true.
So I'm standing there, and this woman who we'd never met before said, do you need a table? And I was like, that'd be awesome. So she walked me to another room and helped me set up the food. And even that was, we didn't want to suppose or presume that we could put our food out, but she knew we had food and took us to a place that would be acceptable. And it led to really great conversation. And people immediately are saying, you know, can I pay for this? What do you want? You know, are you a catering service? So we got to answer with, this is who we are. This is, you know, why we come. It was really fun.
Yeah, it is super fun. And I think it brought joy to them. And I remember walking down the stairs as we were leaving, and the manager said to me, what church are you guys from? And I said, actually, we're from all different churches. There were three of us. And so I said, actually, we all three go to different churches. I would love to have you at my church if you ever want to come. And he was like, I would actually love that. And he said back in the day, he used to go to church and he would do missions and stuff, but he's kind of gotten away from that. And he's fairly new to the area and doesn't really know anybody. So he would love to go to church. I mean, it's that simple, Rachel. Like, we make this like really complicated. But the other thing that I love about going into the clubs and the open doors is like, you can experience God working so tangibly in the darkness. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's the contrast, the dichotomy of like the darkness and the light, but like, you can feel God's presence going before you in almost every conversation, in almost every look, and everybody that enjoys the food. And it's a different, like, it just reminds me of like, we bring the sweet aroma of mm-hmm. Christ as Christians wherever we go. And we want that to be the view of Jesus, and we want them to be looking forward to the next week that we come and be excited about that. And I think that this Thursday they'll be really excited again to have us.
Yeah, I'm excited to go back.
I think just a reminder if you're listening to this, and if you are thinking about like, where is an open door for God to like move in my heart and my life or my ministry? Like, how do I seek that? Pray, fast, spend time with the Lord, and listen to his voice as he's directing what door he wants you to go through. As we come to the end of today's episode, we hope you've been deeply inspired by the stories we shared. Our mission is to spread the hope and love of Jesus with women in the adult entertainment industry.
If you feel inspired to join the movement and make a difference, we invite you to visit our website at scarlethope.org. Follow us on social media at The Scarlet Hope for updates, or consider joining a local team in your own community.
Together, we can make a world of difference, sharing hope and bringing love to those who need it most. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to having you on our next episode.